Good morning. Merry Christmas. All right, I know I'm known for my long sermons, but today I'm going to keep it a little brief. I'm going to keep it a little shorter this morning, but as I was putting together my notes, I wasn't sure how I was going to shorten it up, so we'll just see how it goes. So, all right, go with me to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and Heavenly Father, we're just in awe of you. We come before you humbled that you would love us so much that you would send your Son to walk this earth with us, to go through our day-to-day life experiences, to be tempted in ways that we're tempted and some beyond. And Heavenly Father, that Jesus was perfect. And Heavenly Father, we're just in awe of your great love for us. And Heavenly Father, how you demonstrated that. And Heavenly Father, for the cross, Lord, the punishment, the sacrifice that you had served for us. And Heavenly Father, again, we just stand in awe of you. Heavenly Father, we feel loved this morning. We know you as the Creator love us. Heavenly Father, we're burdened for those that are lost, Lord, that are out there in this world and don't have an understanding of you and aren't following you, Lord. Just continue to burden our hearts for those that are lost in this world. And help us to share your love with our community, with our friends, our family today. And Heavenly Father, just open doors for us to point them to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Have you ever heard the expression, "My house, my rules"? Have you ever heard that? You know, some reason my parents didn't appreciate if I came home at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, something about their rules about getting there before midnight. And my dad had a funny way of showing me that rule. See, we never locked our house, but on the morning I decided to come home at 3 o'clock in the morning, some reason that door was locked. And I had no idea where the key was. So, I know Tammy, she grew up, her parents' house, their rules. She said her dad had a funny way of, if they stayed out a little too late at night, that boy, that next morning they're going to be cutting wood. They're going to spend the whole day in the woods, even though she was ready for a nap. They're cutting wood or doing chores on the farm, and he just had a subtle way of letting her know that you probably should be home a little earlier at night. So my house, my rules. A lot of times the rules in the house are pick up after yourself, don't walk through the house with dirty shoes, be nice to your brother and sister. And if you failed to follow those rules, sometimes there's consequences for not following those rules. Same thing for God. At the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, we know that he set down rules for Adam and Eve. Just one, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they violated that rule. And as a consequence, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and there was other things that had happened to them that were consequences of violating the rule. We know in our country, we have rules and laws in our country that we have to follow. And if you violate those rules, usually the punishment is either time or money. You're either going to pay a fine or you're going to lose some time in jail or community service, but there's consequences of violating those rules in our community. I got pulled over by a cop just about a week ago. Tammy went to a coffee shop, and I went up to the front, and I turned my lights off so I wouldn't shine in the front window, and we took off down Main Street in Angola, and once I got out from underneath the lights, I could see my headlights were off, so I went and turned them on, and about 2 seconds later, I got pulled over, and he said, "Oh, I see your headlights are on now," and he let me go with a warning. He said, "Make sure your headlights are on," and so... But we also know that God has rules. God has rules for us. And for us to go to heaven, there's rules. There's I guess, qualifications to be with him in eternity. And we can choose to follow those rules or not follow those rules. If we follow those rules or we follow his commandments, we'll end up in heaven with him eternity. If we violate those rules, there's a separation. There's a gap that we can't spend eternity with him because we violated his rules. And we know all the way from Adam and Eve, they violated his rules. He had rules, told them what to do. They didn't follow it. We also have the same problem today, that we struggle sometimes to follow his rules, to follow what he wants. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be sinless. But God says in Romans 3:23, we're going to be looking a little bit at Romans today, so if you guys want to turn there. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." My notes are a little fuzzy this morning. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10 says, "It is written, there is no one righteous, not even one." So you might, I've heard the argument, people said, "Well, I'm not a sinner. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a sinner, so I must be good enough to go to heaven." And you ask them, "Are you going to go to heaven or hell?" And the average person say, "Well, I'm a good person. I'm going to go to heaven." But God said, nobody is sinless, not one. If we just take a quick look, if you turn back with me into Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. If we just look at some of the Ten Commandments, if we say this is probably God's standard of what sin is, let's just take a quick look at some of these. Verse 12, I'll start with that. "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord God has given you." Verse 13, "You shall not murder." Verse 14, "You shall not commit adultery." And the New Testament says if you just look at somebody with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery. Verse 15, "You shall not steal." Verse 16, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." So if you tell a lie. Verse 17, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, or you shall not cover your neighbor's wife, his male or female servant, his ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to him." So if we look through here, how many of us can say that we've never told a lie? How many of us can say that we've never stole, that we never taken something that didn't belong to us, even as a young person taking a toy from somebody else because you wanted it? What about committing adultery? Have you ever looked at somebody that wasn't your spouse and had lust in your eyes or lustful thoughts of them? So if you violated any of these, then you're in the not good category. All it takes is one, and now you're in the not good category. You're in the sinful category. So if the average person says, "I'm a good person," to what standard are they saying they're a good person? Are they just not as bad as somebody else? Maybe they've seen somebody else that's a murderer, has done some horrible crime against humanity, something that they think is really sinful, but they think, "Well, my sins aren't that bad. You know, I'm not as bad as that person." But this isn't comparing us to people. When you read the Ten Commandments, this isn't comparing us to your neighbor, how bad they are. This is just comparing us to God's standard, saying that if you violated any of these, one of these, now you're in the not good category. So if you broke any of these, then you are guilty. And turn with me back into Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I think it's pretty safe to say we could all admit that we're all sinners, that we all have violated at least one of the commandments, that in God's standard, in God's eyes, that we are sinful because we have violated probably one of those Ten Commandments, if not multiple. So the wages, what we earn for that sinful nature, for that sin in our lives, even if it's just one, is death. That's what we earned. Our wages are death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. So if you remember, my house, my rules, God's world, God's creation, His rules. So God's creation says if we're sinful, then we don't deserve to be with Him for eternity. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So something had to happen. A punishment had to be paid. Just like with Adam and Eve, when they broke a rule, there was consequences. Just like us in our society, if we break a law, we break a rule, there's consequences. A debt has to be paid, whether we have to go to jail, whether we have to go to be on get a fine, whether we go on probation. If we break a law in our country, there's a penalty that's going to be paid. So for God, for our sinful nature that we are guilty of, which we all have sinned, and we're guilty, and we're not pure, so we cannot be with Him in heaven with that guilt on our heart. God said that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So why would He do that? Why would He die for us? Why would He sacrifice Himself? Why would He pay that price? Why would He die for us? It's because He loved us so much that He wanted to be with us. He wanted us, if we wanted to be with Him, He wanted to be with us. And so He showed us that when He sacrificed His Son, when He died on that cross for us, He did that to bring us back to Him, to bring us together. So even though we're sinful, it doesn't matter. You don't even have to compare yourself to the most sinful person that you can think of, because in God's eyes, one sin is too much. One sin is too much to be with Him. That He wants us to be holy. And so to do that, He provided a sacrifice to pay the penalty for our wages. What we've earned was death. And He paid the price to be with us. And so why Jesus? Why did He come? Why did He come to earth as a little baby and grow and walk with us? Why Him? He came because He was the perfect sacrifice. Jesus was sinless. He walked on earth. He was tempted in many of the ways that we're tempted. He slept. He ate. He walked with us, had our same experiences. And He was sinless. He lived His whole life, and He was sinless. So we've seen in the Old Testament, there would be an animal sacrifice to cover the sins. Well, Jesus came for once and for all to cover all the sins for all of mankind. And He chose to provide Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. The Old Testament foretold of His coming. We flip to Isaiah Would somebody like to read Isaiah 6:9 for me? 9:6. Isaiah 9:6.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
All right, thank you. So in the Old Testament, they foretold of Jesus coming, and something was going to change. Different than any other person that had walked on the earth, he was going to be different. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house and the line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and earth peace to those with whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Well, if everybody would stand, we'll close, and then I'll turn it over to Ray. So we're all sinful. We're all in the need of Jesus. The Bible says if we repent and seek him with all of our heart, ask him to be our Lord and Savior, he will. It's the free gift that we talk about on Christmas, the free gift that God had given us. And I'm so thankful for that. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the free gift that you have given us. And why you chose to come and walk with us, it's beyond my comprehension, but you did. You chose to come and walk with us and live life with us, to sacrifice yourself as a perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that if anybody here doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that they would surrender to you. And Heavenly Father, it just opens up a world of amazement to follow you and to be known as one of yours. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the blessing of the manger. We thank you for the blessing of the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.